Starting fresh. And sometimes what happens is that we have things that we carry over year after year after year, month after month, week after week, that we carry over in our lives that we think we're starting fresh, but we really haven't dealt with them the way that they need to. And today and next week, I'm going to be talking about a couple issues that we just need to deal with so that we can start fresh, because God wants this body of believers to change the world, and he wants your life to be different. And in order for it to be different, that means you have to do something that's different. Doing the same thing over and over again does not change your life. Doing new things, doing different things, changes your life. And I want to encourage you today that, you know, as you've begun your fast this week or today, that you look for God to do changes and things. But I want to lift off of us today some stuff that has held us back, some stuff that we continue to hang on to. Even though we're saved, we hang on to stuff. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, and this morning we're going to get set free of that, okay? Next week, we're going to deal with it a little bit in a little bit more specific detail, but this week, we want to do that. But first, how many of you made resolutions this year? How many of you, come on, tell the truth. How many of you made resolutions? Nobody made resolutions. A couple of you made resolutions. Okay. Well, what I want to do is I want to start out with a video here that shows God's resolutions toward you. So here we go. Amen. He is resolved to do all those things. Say amen.
Amen.
We don't ever have to worry because he's resolved, and he is not a man that he would lie. so you can take them to the bank. Okay, I know there are times where we go through difficulty and struggles, and it seems like he's not coming through, but he will always come through. Say with me, he will, always come through. Okay, today, once again, the teaching that I'm going to share with you is going to seem somewhat elementary, but Patty gave me an encouraging word this morning, and I just want to share. Patty's going to be a reader this morning. Can you give her a round of applause, please? I love embarrassing her. She turns a nice shade of embarrassment when I do that. So she was telling me this morning that you know, she said, Pastor, when I heard the teaching on Friday, I'm like, I know this stuff. You know, da-da. And then the Lord just kept talking to her on Saturday, saying he has resolved to do these things and do this work in her. And so he continued to work it out in her. So I want to encourage you this morning that it may seem elementary in what I'm sharing with you this morning, but I want us to deal with the stuff. Okay, if you are a football team or a soccer team or a hockey team or whatever, and you're going down the road and you're not seeing the success that you want, you go back to the basics, and you fix the basics, and then that sets you on a path, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So we're going to begin in Colossians chapter 2, and you can turn there with me or click on the QR code on the back of your bulletin, and you can get my notes for today. By the way, just for you to know, for this at least this first 40 days, I put up on the blog just a word of encouragement, what the Bible says about you. And it's just a real quick thing. You can read it in 2-3 minutes. Just one quick word about what the Bible says about you that you can chew on all day long. So you can do that, and we'll see what God does after the first 40 days. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Patty.
When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead.
Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's saying, listen, here's the deal. When you came to Christ, your old sinful nature was cut away. Say with me, my sinful nature was cut away.
My sinful nature was cut away.
So why do you still sin? Why do we still sin? Well, we're going to deal with that this morning. But the thing is that this, what Jesus did on the cross for every single one of us, he paid the price for all of our sin. Say, the price has been paid for all of my sin. I am forgiven for all of my sin. Okay, I need you to say it like you believe it. I am forgiven for all of my sin. I am forgiven for all of my sin.
I am forgiven for all of my sin.
Now, your wife or your husband may not forgive you, but God forgives, okay? He has done this work in and through you. He did it on the cross for you. It was nailed to the cross for you. It is a gift that he has done for you, but we have to receive that gift. I can say, here's $1 million, and it's yours, but until you take it, you're not using it. Okay? Christ did this for every man, woman, and child that ever lived and ever will live, but not everyone receives the gift because they have to receive it. The good news here is that if you've accepted Christ and what he did on the cross for us, that every sin has been forgiven, even the ones I haven't done yet. The price has been paid for. Isn't that cool? Say, even the sins I haven't done yet, he forgave me. Isn't that cool? That is very cool. And then secondly, any person that we share the good news with, no matter how bad their situation may be, can be forgiven. So it doesn't matter who you're talking to. It doesn't matter where they are in life. See, God has strategically placed you with the jerks that are in your life so that you can be salt and life light to them so that they can see Jesus and they can know that they're forgiven. Isn't that cool? Even the ones that are the biggest jerks in your life, God has placed them there so you can bring light to them. They're strategically placed in your life. God trusts you with the jerks in your life. Isn't that great? Like, oh yeah, great. And God must really trust me a lot. Maybe he does. But the truth is that we've been given this love and this glorious power and life and authority and because of what Jesus did on the cross, what he did for us, when we grab it, when we really believe that we've truly been forgiven, that our past no longer controls us, that our sins and our failures in the past no longer control us, and we can share that, we get that in our hearts and in our minds, and it's like, woohoo, I am set free, and I want you free too. As big a jerk as you are, I want you free, because I know that we'll get along a whole lot better if you stop being a jerk. And God put you in my life so that I could be salt and light to you. One of the things, though, that holds us back from change is regret. And I need you to understand a couple things about regret. Regret isn't something that God wants us to have. Okay? There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, who sets us free from the law of sin and death. But we need to understand that despite the forgiveness, that there are ramifications to sin that we sometimes have to deal with. All of our sins are forgiven, but we will at times feel the consequences of that sin. For example, if you hurt someone, you still need to make it right with them for the relationship to move on, even though you've been forgiven. Right? Even though you're forgiven, if you want to have right relationship with someone that you hurt, you need to make it right. I mean, we've got the story of Zacchaeus, you know? God placed the story of Zacchaeus in there so we can see that even though we walk in forgiveness, we've received forgiveness, there are people in our lives that we need to say, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, the jerk that you work with, that was me. And I don't want to be that way. And I've been forgiven, and I just want your forgiveness because I don't want there to be any problems in our relationship. If you broke the law, you may still need to pay a fine or go to jail. But you walk in forgiveness. Christ has forgiven you. Now, I also need you to understand that there's a certain grace that God allows us to walk in sometimes where he will just supernaturally intervene. I've seen him turn the hearts of judges. I've seen people walk away scot-free from a court because God just said, I'm going to move on this judge's heart to set this person free. I've seen God, even before someone has come to ask for forgiveness, work on a person's heart, and they've already forgiven them before you even get there. And the relationship is healed before it even happens. I've seen God make the impossible possible. But some of the greatest difficulty that we have with forgiveness is not necessarily forgiving others, as it is receiving forgiveness from others and forgiving ourselves. The enemy is constantly reminding us of our failures. He likes to cause us to blame things like, well, because of our family heritage or because of the way we were raised, we need to always fail in this sin area or that sin area. We'll deal with that here. I think that's why Paul went on to say in verse 13, I think that's why he said this. Go ahead and read verse 13 there, Patty.
You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins.
Once again, Christ died for all of our sins. There are times where we are jerked around in life, where we are raised in an alcoholic environment or a drug addicted environment or an abusive environment, and we have, because of the entitlement of our society, our American culture, we've said, well, I can justify my actions because of the way I was raised. As a Christian, you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ and God. As a Christian, you now come under the blood covenant of Christ. As a Christian, you now come to the place of saying, listen, I don't have to live that way. I can choose every day. Now, is it easy? No, it is not easy. It isn't easy to come to the place when you have lived under an abusive situation, when you've lived under a controlling situation, when you've lived in an addictive environment, when you've lived in an environment that has been extremely abusive, when you have, in some cases, when women have been raped and boys have been molested and all these things to go through and to say that I don't need to live as a victim. It is very hard. It is apart from Christ, it is impossible to walk in freedom. But see, the thing is that God can bring us to freedom if we give it to Him, if we let Him do the work. I've shared with you that I'm reading this book by Caroline Leaf, and it literally shows the science of how when we think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is a good report, when we think about the washing of the renewing, we renew our minds, as Romans 12 tells us, that we create new pathways, literally create new pathways in our brain. The science is that you create a new pathway in your brain. So when you change your thinking, when you begin to say, yes, this was a horrible thing that happened to me, but Christ wants me to walk in freedom from this thing, to even, as hard as it is, to forgive my abusers. Not that I have a relationship with them, and I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you make a point to say, I'm choosing to forgive because I will refuse to allow them to control me any longer. And as long as I don't forgive, they control me. That hurt continues to control me. But see, that's the cool thing about God's word, that science is slowly but surely catching up to the reality of God's word. And what he says here is, before you came to Christ, you were dead in your sins, and your sinful nature was still controlling you. But once you come to Christ, God made you alive, and He forgave all of your sins. He gave us a great gift to set us free. And we need to stop making excuses that, well, this is the way I was raised. This is the way that my father was, my mother was, my grandfather was, my great-grandfather, great-grandmother, and start accepting responsibility to say, you know what? Christ made me new. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 years. Christ could do it instantaneously. I'm not saying whatever way He wants to do it. I'm saying that He wants to do it in and through you. And that we need, as men and women of God, to begin to believe God at His word and set the men and women around us free by the knowledge that we have, that we no longer need to be in bondage by whatever horrible situation it is that you have walked through, that no longer needs to control you. Am I saying it's easy? No. But am I saying Christ can do it? Absolutely. Yes. Am I saying that you can walk in freedom? Absolutely. Or otherwise, this word that I'm preaching you is all a lie. He wants to set us free, but we need to make that choice. It is our choice. It is in our power to make that decision. Christ has done it for us. We must appropriate it to our lives. And we have to say, I'm not going to live this sin anymore. I love verse 14 of Colossians chapter 2. It's one of my favorite verses. You've heard me quote it a lot, but I'm going to go ahead and have Patty read it.
He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
He canceled the record of charges against us. Well, that doesn't sound very fair. Why is it that I have a record of charges against me? Listen, every person that's born has in their nature an understanding of what is right and wrong. You know it is wrong to lie from the moment you first do it. Little kids lie. They do. Ask any parent here. Who did that? Oh. Did you make this mess? Oh. You're the only one in the room. You don't have brothers or sisters yet. Adults lie. Did you squeeze this toothpaste in the middle? We have in ourselves an innate nature that understands right and wrong. We also have within ourselves an understanding that there's something greater than ourselves. We are born and created with an understanding that there's something greater than ourselves. That God has called us to a higher purpose, a higher call. And when we fail that call, we sin. But that doesn't sound very fair. Well, God has made a way for you to fulfill that call. And it's called surrendering to Christ. You know, the scripture says, for him that knows what's right to do and does not do it, it is sin for him. I didn't make that up. That's God's word. So if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with God's word. And if you have a problem with God's word, you got a problem with God. That's just the way that it is. Why does God do this? Well, because you know what? He's the author of joy and peace and love. And he wants you to have it all. He created a garden for people to live in initially that was perfect. And he wants to give you, in the middle of your storms, in the middle of your trials, in the middle of your battles, in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of everything you're going through, the same peace and love and joy that was in the Garden of Eden. Why? Because he loves you. When we get the concept that God radically loves us and is in love with us, and that his plans for you are for a hope and a future, plans for your welfare and not for your destruction, and we shake off the Eeyore mentality. Oh, well, I guess it's just going to, you know, thanks for building the house, but it's probably going to collapse. God, thanks for supplying the money, but there's some tragedy coming that's going to wait, take all that money away. God, thank you that I'm feeling good today, although I know tomorrow I'll be sick. Oh, well, I can't invest myself in friendships because I'll probably get hurt. Some of you, I'm smacking you right in the face. I can see it on your faces. But Paul writes here that he canceled the record of charges against us. That word canceled, as I've said many times before, in the Greek means obliterated. It no longer exists in this reality. It's not that it just, that somebody whitewashed over your sins. Your sins no longer exist in this reality. How do I know that? Well, if it's not true, then God is imperfect. Because he says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, just go ahead and read that scripture there, Patty.
I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins.
What does he say? He doesn't remember what?
Your sins.
So God has a memory problem. God doesn't remember our sins. How is that possible? How can a perfect God not remember our sins? That would make him imperfect. Unless those sins no longer exist. So there's nothing to remember. So when Christ died on the cross, he obliterated all of your sins. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
When you stand before Christ, when you stand that last day and you're at the judgment seat, it's going to be like, God, there's nothing in this book. There's nothing here. It's blank. Well, then open up the other book. Oh, there it is. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Isn't that cool? There are people that preach that on the judgment seat, all of your sin will be revealed. If that's true, then God lied. My sin was canceled on the cross. And it goes on to say that he took it away by nailing it to the cross. I need you to understand the picture here, because in the Old Testament time, if you had debt or if you had some kind of sin that was held against you and judgment against you, there would be a paper posted on a wall that listed all of your sin and your debt. We're going to start doing that next week. So write them down or put them on the wall so everybody can see when everybody walk in humility. All your debt, all your sin, we're going to post on the wall. Put down the bottom of that, I just lied to, because you wouldn't have written all your sins. But in the Old Testament, what would happen is a kinsman redeemer, someone that was related, would be able to come along and pay that debt, would be able to take that punishment, would be able to eliminate that. And when they would do that, they would put a nail through it, signifying that it was paid. And Paul says, he nailed it to the cross. All of your sin was paid for. So when the enemy comes in and he brings it up to God, God's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You see that Patty Crosby? I don't see any sin there. You see that Don Kern? I don't see any sin there. See Brenda, you see Mark, I don't see any sin there. Nailed it to the cross. Every sin. Folks, we need to walk in this freedom. We need to let go of the sin. Walking in and knowing we're forgiven is a very serious matter. And I want to walk you through a few things here. Hopefully everyone in this room will have achieved the first thing, but forgiveness takes place as we appropriate or we apply Christ's gift to our lives. So we need to do four things in order to do that. One, if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, that's your first step. Surrender your life to Christ. If you're here today and maybe you've attended this church, maybe you have attended other churches, attending church doesn't make you a Christian. Calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Surrendering your life to Christ makes you a Christian. What that means is you realize that God has created you with skills, gifts, talent, and ability. God has created you with a purpose. And that your doing things your way will only accomplish the best that you can do. But you do, as the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Or as Jesus said, that if anyone wants to follow after him, I deny myself and take up my cross and follow him daily. It's a daily walk. Why? Because we're surrounded in a sinful world. And it's saying, God, you know what? I recognize I've got skills, gifts, talents, and abilities. I recognize the personality you've given me. And you know what? I want more than what I can do. I'm giving it all back to you today. If you don't do that, will you make it to heaven? Yeah. If you claim Christ as your Lord and Savior. But will you be as successful in your walk with Christ? No. Because it's still you running things. It's still you being in charge. And you know what? It radically changes your whole world when you realize everything I do today, everything that I'm doing, every place that I'm going, everything, every decision that I'm making, I want to base on his guidance, on his wisdom, on surrendering to him. I want to get my flesh out of the decision-making process and let him do what he wants to do in and through me. Surrendering. Number two, repent, which means you do a 180-degree turn from your old life. This is where we get nailed the most in this church and in churches across America. People have this attitude that, well, you know what? I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to walk the walk and I can still do this. I think it was Dirty Harry said, thou shalt not get away with it. Yeah, you can still do it. You can still live a somewhat successful life in Christ with sin in your life. What are you saying, Pastor? But you will not live the fulfilled life because you'll still have this area in your life where the enemy has control. Because you continue to let this sin area control you. Christ died, say with me, Christ died for all of my sin. Every time you sin, it's a choice that you make. I'm not going to enable this church. There's no one in this room that has sinned by accident. Oh my goodness, I don't know how she got pregnant. It must have been an accident. That lie just slipped right out of my mouth. I don't know how it happened. That jealousy, boy, I don't know where that came from. That prejudice, boy, I don't know. That just snuck up. That was the devil. There are only so many demons. Folks, I want to be honest with you. I would much rather deal with demons than flesh any day. Because demons have to flee at the name of Jesus. The flesh can hang around all day long. That's why we're called to make disciples. You know what? Give me a demon-possessed person and God will set them free. It may take several hours of spending time with them, working through things. But the demon has to go. The problem that I have is the flesh. Because the flesh stays. That's why, you know, the scripture says that when a demon is cast out, it goes out in waterless places and finding no place to rest, sees the house in order, and then comes back and is seven times worse. Because you haven't dealt with the flesh. No demon has any right to control any human being until they come into agreement with the demonic force. And so when you set the person free, then they have got to make choices in their flesh to stop. But we have to repent. I got a nice clean glass of water here. My daughter got it for me for Christmas. It says OBX. Just reminds me of vacation. It's Outer Banks, is what that stands for, those of you that don't know. Nice clean glass of water, poured it from the water cooler in the back, and nice and pure and clean. But if I take this glass of water, and I take just one drop of raw sewage, sure looks clean still though, doesn't it? Anybody want a drink? Why not? It's just one drop. It's just one drop. It's just one drop. It's just a little sin. It's just a little bad attitude. The rest of it is clear. It's just one drop. It won't hurt you. It's just a drop. How can that possibly hurt you? If it were raw sewage, you'd be sick for a day, sick for a week. You get hepatitis for the rest of your life. But it's not.
What was it?
But that's the way sin is in our lives. Just one drop, and you don't want to touch it. That's the way we should be with sin. Folks, there's a whole world out there that is in bondage. And we still play with bad attitudes toward one another. We still play with prejudice. We still play with gossip. We still play with allowing our feelings to get hurt. Lying. Cheating. Why? What's one drop? And if that one drop would poison you, what's that one sin doing to your spiritual life? See, the thing is that we often don't see. Let me put it this way. A friend of mine has a Lamborghini. What is it? Lotus. A friend of mine has a Lotus. And he let me drive it. And they go fast. And they handle very well. And it went fast before I wanted to go fast. And it handled very, very well. And I wouldn't know how great a car could handle until I drove this Lotus. And then it's like, wow. Problem is, the car is totally uncomfortable. I don't know why anybody would want to own one. It's like the most uncomfortable car in the world. It's like, you know, there's no padding in the seat. It's like, yeah, I'll drive this for about 15 minutes, and it's like, get me out of this car. It's really uncomfortable. And our problem is similar in our walk with Christ. We're living our life the way that it is right now, thinking, woohoo, this is great, when there's so much more that God has for us. When we deal with this sin area and we stop playing around with it, and we believe God that He really has an amazing plan. If you're not happy, somewhere down the line, there's some sin area that's controlling you. Jealousy, envy, fear, anger, pride, unforgiveness. Because the Lord promises joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that surpasses all understanding. He promises love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. He promises power and authority to be His witnesses all over the world. He promises us that everywhere that we go, it will be success and blessing. These are things that God has planned. But we choose sin over that because it's what we're comfortable with. It's safe. Having a bad attitude is safe because it's what we know. Brings us to the next point. Let go. Don't hold on to your past sins, unforgiveness, wounds, hurts, rejection. I know it's not easy. I'm not sitting here saying any of this is easy. If it was easy, then everybody would do it all the time and it'd be no problem. What I'm saying is believing that there's a radically transformed life that Christ has planned for you to radically change your world, to impact everything around you, to give you a peace in the middle of storms, to wipe out every problem and to make every problem an opportunity for the kingdom of God. That is radical, and that's what God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. So why do we live so far below it? Gotta let go. Then live a life serving and seeking Him. Living in His love, His grace, His mercy, and His power, and His authority. See, if we live under condemnation or conviction of our past and don't allow God to move us on, even once we've repented, we'll truly never start fresh. I know there are people that have hurt you. I know there are situations that have hurt you. I know there are things you think that God has hurt you. But I'm telling you, folks, there's such a higher place that God wants to take us. And we've got to let go of the past. Got to let go of the sin. Got to let go of the bad attitude. And decide by faith that there's something amazing God has for us that's far beyond where we are. This morning, I'm not saying that you aren't saved. I'm merely saying that you'll never have the freshness and the victory that God has planned for you if you continue to allow your past sins. If you come into this new year with these past sins controlling you, then you won't walk in the freedom this next year. Let's stand. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask you to let go and let God. I'm going to ask you to make a decision that as I spoke this morning, there were things that the Holy Spirit brought to your mind to say, you know what? I really do need to deal with this. I'm tired of this thing controlling me. Now, folks, I pray to God that it lifts as we pray completely. But even if it doesn't, if God wants you to work it out, the scripture says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. If he wants to work out things in you every day, you just make the decision. I've told you, I've shared with you before about a situation in my life where someone severely hurt me, attacked my reputation, attacked who I was, and the forgiveness took like 18 months. It wasn't that I didn't forgive them the minute the conviction came. It just, in order for me to truly feel like I forgave them, because every time, you know, I'd see them or I'd hear their name, I'd get this inside, and I said, no, I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to forgive. And it took time. But God will do it in you if you're determined to live a fresh life. If you're determined to live a life of freedom. If you're determined to live a life where you're walking in forgiveness, walking in freedom, walking away from the sin that so easily besets us, as the scripture says. God wants to do it today. He wants to start fresh today. Start this new year out, because there's so much more that God has for you. Let him do it in and through you. So I'm going to pray, and Joyce is going to lead us in some worship, and you can come up front and let someone pray with you. They don't need to go into a long prayer with you or whatever. It's just a matter of, I want you to surrender it, to say, God, you know what? I'm tired of this thing controlling me. I'm tired of this sin controlling me. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I want a fresh year. I believe that you've got something more for me, and I don't want this thing controlling me anymore. And I want to say this to you as well, if it's something that's controlling you, that you need help with, we're here. Pastor Don does counseling, I do counseling, Pastor Gary and Pastor Art will do counseling, Pastor Michael do counseling. We're here to stand with you to help you through it, okay? My preaching is only about 5% of what I do. The other 95% is with people on the phone, with people in my office, with people at their homes, in my home. Because we're here, I'm not just saying let it go up here. I'm saying if you need help, we're here for you. Some of you have experienced that personally and radically. You might not like what we have to say, but we're going to tell you the truth in whatever way. And we're going to believe God that he's going to set you free. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. I thank you that your word doesn't come back void. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in this house, and Lord, that you're giving us a fresh start. I thank you that as people come forward this morning, that they're going to receive a radical revelation of what you want to do in their hearts and their lives. And Father, that the old is going to be passed away and that new things are going to begin. Father, that they are going to start fresh as they come to this altar this morning, that there's going to be a release, Lord, that forgiveness is going to flow, that radical choices are going to be made. And Lord, that there's going to be a new power, a new might, a new freedom, a new joy, a new peace, a new love that pours in and through them. And Father, that today is a day of freedom. Today is a day of freedom. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.